He could not tell if it moved or not. It had seen him now, though there was nothing in his mind but horror and fear of its touch, the cold black pain that drained his life away. Yet he waited unmoving. Then all at once, speaking aloud, he called the mage wind strong and sudden into his white sail, and his boat leaped across the gray waves straight at the lowering thing that hung upon the wind. In utter silence, the shadow, wavering, turned and fled. Upwind it went, northward. Upwind Ged's boat followed, shadow speed against magecraft, the rainy gale against them both. And the young man yelled to his boat, to the sail, and the wind, and the waves ahead, as a hunter yells to his hounds when the wolf runs in plain sight before them. And he brought into that spell-woven sail a wind that would have split any sail of cloth, and that drove his boat over the sea like a scud of blown foam, closer always to the thing that fled. Now the shadow turned, making a half circle and appearing all at once more loose and dim, less like a man, more like mere smoke blowing on the wind. It doubled back and ran downwind with the gale, as if it made for Gaunt. With hand and spell, Ged turned his boat, and it leaped like a dolphin from the water, rolling in that quick turn. Faster than before he followed, but the shadow grew ever fainter to his eyes. Rain, mixed with sleet and snow, came stinging across his back and his left cheek, and he could not see more than 100 yards ahead. Before long, as the storm grew heavier, the shadow was lost to sight. Yet Ged was sure of its track, as if he followed a beast's track over snow, instead of a wraith fleeing over water. Though the wind blew his way now, he held the singing mage wind in the sail, and flake foam shot from the boat's blunt prow, and she slapped the water as she went. For a long time, hunted and hunter held their weird fleet course, and the day was darkening fast. Ged knew that at the great pace he had gone these past hours, he must be south of Gaunt, heading past it towards Spevi or Torhaven, or even past these islands out into the open reach. He could not tell. He did not care. He hunted, he followed, and fear ran before him. All at once, he saw the shadow for a moment, not far from him. The world's wind had been sinking, and the driving sleet of the storm had given way to a chill, ragged, thickening mist. Through this mist he glimpsed the shadow, fleeing somewhat to the right of his course. He spoke to wind and sail, and turned the tiller and pursued, though again it was a blind pursuit. The fog thickened fast, boiling and tattering where it met with the spell wind, closing down all around the boat, a featureless pallor that deadened light and sight. Even as Ged spoke the first word of a clearing charm, he saw the shadow again, still to the right of his course, but very near, and going slowly. The fog blew through the faceless vagueness of its head, yet it was shaped like a man, only deformed and changing like a man's shadow. Ged veered the boat once more, thinking he had run his enemy to ground, and in that instant it vanished. And it was his boat that ran aground, smashing up on shoal rocks that the blowing mist had hidden from his sight. He was pitched nearly out, but grabbed hold on the mast staff before the next breaker struck. This was a great wave, which threw the little boat up out of water and brought her down on a rock, as a man might lift up and crush a snail's shell. Stout and wizardly was the staff Ogion had shaped. It did not break, and buoyant as a dry log, it rode the water. Still grasping it, Ged was pulled back as the breaker streamed back from the shoal, so that he was in deep water and saved till the next wave from battering on the rocks. Salt-blinded and choked, he tried to keep his head up and to fight the enormous pull of the sea. There was sand beach a little aside of the rocks, and he glimpsed this a couple of times as he tried to swim free of the rising of the next breaker. With all his strength, and with the staff's power aiding him, he struggled to make for that beach. He got no nearer. The surge and recoil of the swells tossed him back and forth like a rag, and the cold of the deep sea drew warmth fast from his body, weakening him till he could not move his arms. He had lost sight of rocks and beach alike, and did not know what way he faced. There was only a tumult of water around him, under him, over him, blinding him, strangling him, drowning him. A wave swelling in under the ragged fog took him and rolled him over and over and flung him up like a stick of driftwood on the sand. And there he lay. He still clutched the yew-wood staff with both hands. Lesser waves dragged at him, trying to tug him back down the sand in their outgoing rush, and the mist parted and closed above him, and later a sleety rain beat on him. And after a long time, he moved. He got up on hands and knees and began slowly crawling up the beach away from the water's edge. It was black night now, but he whispered to the staff, and a little wehrlight clung about it. And with this to guide him, he struggled forward, little by little, up toward the dunes. He was so beaten and broken and cold that this crawling through the wet sand and the whistling sea thundering dark was the hardest thing he had ever had to do. And once or twice it seemed to him that the great noise of the sea and the wind all died away, and the wet sand turned to dust under his hands, and he felt the unmoving gaze of strange stars on his back. But he did not lift his head, and he crawled on, and after a while he heard his own gasping breath, and felt the bitter wind beat the rain against his face, and the moving brought a little warmth back into him at last, and after he had crept up into the dunes where the gusts of rainy wind came less hard, he managed to get up on his feet. He spoke a stronger light out of the staff, for the world was utterly black, and then leaning on the staff he went on, stumbling and halting half a mile or so inland. And then on the rise of a dune he heard the sea louder again, not behind him, but in front. And the dunes sloped down again to another shore. This was no island he was on, but a mere reef, a bit of sand in the midst of the ocean. He was too worn out to despair, but he gave a kind of sob and stood there, bewildered, leaning on his staff for a long time. And then, doggedly, he turned to the left, so the wind would be at his back at least, and shuffled down the high dune, seeking some hollow among the ice-rimed, bowing seagrass where he could have a little shelter. As he held up the staff to see what lay before him, he caught a dull gleam at the farthest edge of the circle of wehrlight, a wall of rain-wet wood.